My heart is widened, O Lord, my heart is widened. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The saint whom Almighty God chose to be the author of the liturgical worship of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and of Mary was truly a saint, as the psalmist prays, with a heart that was widened. His heart was so great that he had room in it for priests, inept, poorly trained priests, and for plague victims, and for prostitutes, reformed prostitutes, and for promoting, most of all, the devotion to the Sacred Heart by his publishing and his writing of masses and of offices to honor the Admirable Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Prostitutes have a prominent role in society. They're not generally talked about in polite society, but there you have it, they're there. And you see them very often in the lives of the saints. Great prostitutes who are converted, like Mary Magdalene or St. Mary of Egypt. Sunday we keep St. Philip Benizi, one of the first Servites, and he founded the Second Order of Servites for Nuns with two reformed prostitutes who became his first cloistered sisters. One of the saints that we have today is an 8th century bishop in France. His name is St. Sebald, and he received the confession and the reform of a fallen woman, and he gave her for a penance to put an arm band of iron around her arm, which was just tight enough to cause pain, and she wore it as an instrument of penance for many years until the day of the saint's death. And she came to see him laid out in the church, and one of the candles by the coffin was tilting, so she reached out to grab it, and as she did so, the armband miraculously broke, and she considered that now, according to the saint, the time of her penance was accomplished. St. John Francis Regis, the great Jesuit missionary father in the 16th century France, southern France, why, he set up cottage industries, especially of lace making, to give these women a chance to have a decent life. And our saint today established homes for them, first of all, and then the Good Shepherd nuns as a religious order who would take care of them. And then later on from his work there evolved the Order of the Magdalenes, who actually were cloistered women who either had been prostitutes or wanted to offer up their lives in reparation for sin behind the cloister. Now, our saint, John Eudes, got his start as a priest. His parents were wealthy farmers, and they really wanted him to be a farmer. But he knew God was calling him to be a priest, so he became a priest with the Jesuits. But then he saw that one of the great problems of the day was priests who were not properly trained. So, and there were several saints along those lines, 17th century France. So he started a group of priests, who would later on be called the Eudist Fathers, after him, whose only job would be to run seminaries properly. So he did that. And then, because his heart was so wide, if he saw a need, he had to do something about it. There was the plague that happened twice within a few years of each other, early 17th century, and he took care of the plague victims. Remember, he's the one. The nuns didn't, and the priests didn't want him coming back to the convent or the rectory at night because of infection. And so he lived in a barrel in the field. That's where he slept at night. And then during the day, he would heroically minister every need: medicine, extreme unction, consolation, confession, burial to these poor abandoned souls. As he was coming back from one of these missions of mercy, back to his barrel, he was accosted by a woman who had begun the work of receiving fallen women who wanted to reform their lives. Her name was Madeleine Lamy. And she accosted him rather unfairly. And she said, "Now, where are you off to, Father? You're probably going to your church to look at the beautiful statues and say some beautiful prayers, when that's not at all what God wants. What God wants is a house for these poor women." Now, since our saint was already doing so much for the plague victims, it was supremely unfair of this woman. But because he was a saint, and his heart was widened after the example of the Sacred Heart, he had room for everyone. So he took the correction in a good way, and he did his very best, and pretty soon he had a convent established and a house in a formal way where these women could be received and they could be helped. Our saint, the last thing maybe to say about him is that nobody's perfect. And his particular fault was that he didn't know sort of the political ins and outs, because at that time, union of church and state, the king ran the church in France, and there was a certain way to go about founding a religious order or opening a convent, and it was very political, and you had to be very careful and diplomatic. He was no diplomat. He wasn't any good at that at all. And because of that, his work was actually retarded or slowed down a number of years, and he suffered great grief, the king and the pope and all the trouble in between. Yet never mind, that never slowed down his work or his zeal. So if today we have the feast, say on Saturday, of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the feast after Trinity Sunday, after Corpus Christi of the Sacred Heart, it's due to our saint. He was the first one, as if they received permission from church authorities to compose the office and the mass of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and of Mary, the author of their liturgical worship, we say. A wonderful saint's heart was widened, and someone even rudely suggested an apostolate to him, why he couldn't turn it down. Let us ask this saint tonight to give us the grace to accompany our Blessed Mother heavenwards by trying to make this earth a little bit more heavenly, by doing good to others without holding back in any sense. My heart is widened, O Lord, my heart is widened. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.